Everybody take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses of Scripture tonight. And actually the whole passage. We'll start in verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach unto their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we build the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the hearer, the bearers of the burden, is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, For all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they which bear burdens, with those that laden, every one with his hand wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and the half of them held spears from the raising in the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, Let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they might be guard to us and labor on that day. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we study this passage, once again, we desperately need to hear from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our pastor. I pray that you just be with him tonight. And we pray that you just meet with us tonight and take control of the service. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to talk about spiritual wisdom for spiritual workers. You know, the context of this passage, Nehemiah and his men are engaged in a very serious work. The future of Jerusalem and of Israel itself depends on the successful operation of this project. As they labor, they provide valuable illustration of those engaged in the work of the Lord in these days. As you know, the church is facing a very serious task. You know, the future of this church rests upon the success of God's people. And that's why I'm preaching on the thought, spiritual wisdom for spiritual workers. The thought given in this passage will aid you in your efforts to do the Lord's work and will in His church. You know, the thing about it is that we've been given a godly heritage here at Calvary Baptist Church. I remember hearing of many people who their labor and who their efforts God has used to build this church. But anyways, when it comes down to it, we've been given a godly heritage here at Calvary Baptist Church. Many, many people, here's the thing is, many people that have gone on before us, they have taken and the blocks to the church they have built. Many people have sacrificed to make sure that this church stands where it does. And you know what? We owe them a great debt of gratitude. But here's the thing is, whether or not Calvary Baptist Church will continue depends upon what we do as Christians here in this church. Whether or not we tap into the power of God, whether or not we band together and decide that God's work is the most important, whether or not we're willing to sacrifice so that the next generation can come around. And here's the thing is, it's not just monetarily, it's being in church when the doors are open. It's being in our place. It's serving in the church. See, God has a plan and a purpose for each one. And, you know, being a Sunday night, I'm sure that a lot of you have a vital role in Calvary Baptist Church. But tonight I'm going to talk about spiritual wisdom for spiritual workers. Notice that wise spiritual workers, they recognize the danger around them. See, Nehemiah knew that if the wall was to be built, these dangers had to, number one, be recognized and also dealt with. We see in verses 1 through 3, that it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. They fought criticism. You know, the enemies of Israel mocked and ridiculed the work that they had to do. You know what? We might as well face it. Anytime you're determined to do something great for God, the world is going to say, you know what? You're wasting your time. Hey, listen, it doesn't make sense what you're doing. Why would you take and spend time on a Sunday night to go to church? Well, listen, the next generation depends upon it. Hey, listen, why would you tithe? Why would you serve God in different ministries? Why would you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure? Because the next generation is determined on this. Because here's the thing is, if we fail as Christians, if we fail to serve God, if we fail to sacrifice, what is the next generation going to have? See, there's an important work that we must do. Here's the thing is, too many times churches, there's two different visions that we have to look at. One is today, we need to reach all the souls that we can today, but you know what? We also need to plan for tomorrow. You see, here's the thing is, you know what? We need to take and reach souls for today. But you know what? Discipling them plans for tomorrow, plans for the future. And taking and realizing that, you know what? We are in a work that is greater than us. And here's the thing is, it's not just whether or not I attend an evening service. It's not just whether or not I serve in a ministry. It's not just whether I help in VBS. It's not just whether or not I help in Veterans Day. It's whether or not this church will be here in 30 years. See, here's the thing is, I believe it was, this church was founded in the 50s, if I remember right. And here's the thing is, many people sacrificed and prayed and got a hold of God and decided that this church was going to be here today. We have the same work that we must do. But you know what? There are going to be some that ridicule us. Some that say, you know what? Why don't you compromise like the other churches? Why don't you put up the rock bands? Why don't you take and please the crowds? Because listen, when it comes down to it, there's one person we need to please, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize where our power comes from. We need to realize that we have marching orders from heaven. We need to realize that, you know what? When it comes down to it, Christ built the church, and He knows how to keep it. But don't let the crowd get to you. Some of the best of the Lord's workers were criticized, including Christ. So when you're criticized, praise the Lord, for you're in good company. But here's the thing is, there was a guy that, unknown quote, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most of them do. There was an officer in the battlefield, aimed his cannon towards what he thought was a distant enemy. Just before he fired, the commander looked through his field glasses and shouted, "Your aim seems to be perfect, but stop. They are not the enemy, they're our own people. Did you ever think that when you aim your criticism at God's people so thoughtlessly, you're actually aiming your cannon at the Lord's brethren?" Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know what? We're all in the same... here's the thing is, the Bible says that we're soldiers of the Lord. The Bible talks about put on the whole armor of God. Listen, we're in a battle and it's not against each other. You know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, our enemies are not in this room. Our enemies, here's the thing is, our enemies aren't those that call themselves Christians. Our enemies is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so here's the thing is, they fought criticism, but next they fought conspiracy. Look at verses 7 and 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. The enemies plotted and planned how they can bring about the demise of the wall. Church, we need to realize that we will be under attack. When we decide that we're going to do a great work for God, there will be attacks. There will be people who try and undermine what we do. There are people, and I'll be honest with you, the truth is, there already has been, and there will be, but that shouldn't be a surprise to us. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Don't let this discourage you. Just realize that, you know what? We are under attack. And there's more at stake than we realize. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And by the way, if he can't, he'll attack our pastor. And if he can't get our pastor, you know what? He'll attack the assistant pastor. And if he can't get the pastors, he'll go after their wives and their family. If he can't get their wives and family, he'll go after the deacons, and he'll go after the trustees, and he'll go after the song leader, and he'll go after the Sunday school teachers. And if he can't get them, he'll go after the people in the pews. He doesn't care who he destroys. He is after the workers in this church. There will always be those on the outside who plot against you, and there may be some on the inside, though their actions also... Listen, we need to just be on guard. We need to fight conspiracy. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. We need to make sure that we're not a part of that. And the next, they fought complaints. Look at verses 10 through 12. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. There's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary says, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence ye shall return to us, they will be upon you." You know, I'll be honest with you. It's one thing when the enemy attacks the work from without. It's another thing when the attacks arise from within. This is what happened to Nehemiah and his workers. Beware this evening that there will arise within our own ranks those who will not be satisfied with anything we do. Some people can't find a good word about just about anything. But you know what? When it comes down to it, if we are about our Father's business, then you know what? Complaint shouldn't alter what we do. And a certain father who is a chronic growler, he was sitting with his family in the presence of a guest in a parlor one day when the question of food came up. One of the children, the little girl, was telling the guest very cleverly what food each member of the family liked best. Finally, it came to the father's turn to be described. And what do I like, Nancy? He asked laughingly. "You?" said the little girl slowly. "Well, you like almost anything we haven't got." And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. There's some people in the church, and hopefully not in this church, but you know what? It seems like they like everything that we don't have. And well, you know what? We have a kids program. Well, it's not good enough. And well, maybe we shouldn't have a kids program. We don't like the bus. We do like the bus. You know, we don't like the pews. We do like the pews. You know, it's like whatever we don't have, that's what people are upset with. And so here's the thing is, you know what? We need to fight complaints. And an angry pastor's wife looked over the remains of dinner that had long since turned cold. She intensely inquired of her husband, "Where have you been these last 2 hours?" No husband has ever heard that before. And his hollow eyes gazed towards his wife, and then he slowly responded, "I met Mrs. Burton on the street, and I asked her how she was feeling." And so anyways, when it comes down to it, you know what? We need to fight complaints. And a young couple was complaining or becoming anxious about their 4-year-old son who had not yet talked. They took him to a specialist, but the doctors found nothing wrong with him. One morning at breakfast, the boy suddenly blurted out, "Mom, the toast is burnt." "You talked! You talked!" shouted the mother. "I'm happy, but why is it taking you so long?" "Well, up until now," said the boy, "things have been okay." So here's the thing is, your efforts and your motives will be brought into question, and everything you do will be scrutinized. But you need to remember tonight, your duty is not to please the critics and complainers. Your duty is to please the God of heaven, the one who gives the marching orders. I'll tell you what, here's advice for any complainers in the church, although I don't believe we have any. The man who says it cannot be done should never interrupt the man doing it. I tell you what, too many times the complainers aren't the ones doing the work. Too many times the complainers are the ones trying to keep the work from being done. And listen, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes Satan uses Christians in the church. Sometimes he'll hinder the work with Christians. We just need to pray that we're not the ones hindering the work. And so listen, a lot of times, I remember one pastor said, he's like, "Listen, I don't want to hear any complaints without 2 solutions to the problem. And one of them ought to be a volunteering." And so here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. Too many times we're so concerned about the problem, but we're not willing to be a part of the solution. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to realize there's a great work to do. And by the way, if we believe that, hey, we are making a difference in the kingdom of heaven, that we are seeing souls saved and lives changed, you know what? We ought to be eager to get a part of the work. We ought to be eager to pick up our trowel or our tool and decide, you know what? Hey, listen, we're a part of something bigger than us. We have a work to do. There are souls that are lost and dying and going to hell. And hey, listen, we need to encourage other Christians, not tear them down. Hey, I'll be honest with you. This area is strange. As far as this, most other places I've been, churches don't get along. I have never seen, until I got here, where a pastor, our pastor, would have 2 other pastors sitting on the pulpit or sitting on the platform in a combined service like we had last Sunday night. And you know what? That is awesome. Because you know what? Those other 2 pastors are definitely not our enemies. You know what? They're our fellow soldiers in Christ. And listen, if we'll realize that, hey, listen, we're in a battle, and you know what? Hey, that's our comrade sitting next to us. But when it comes down to it, we've got to realize that there will be oppositions. And next, they relied on the deity above them. When the attacks came, Nehemiah and his men did the right thing. They turned to God in faith and exercised one of the greatest weapons that they had, the weapon of prayer. Look in verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turned their reproach against our own heads, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." We see the leaders prayed. Nehemiah called on God. He went to the Lord looking for help and direction. And by the way, this is, you know, here's the thing is, we're blessed here at Calvary Baptist Church. And listen, when it comes down to it, whether it be the pastor, whether it be the assistant pastor, whether it be the leader of a ministry, whether it be the song leader or a trustee or a deacon. Listen, we as leaders need to pray. Let me challenge you. We need to beware. Too many times we take and we look to our own strength. And I'll be honest with you, our strength is going to fail us. If we try and build the wall in our own strength, we're going to become weary, we're going to be defeated, and we're going to fall prey to the enemy. But listen, when it comes down to it, we need to trust in Christ. And look to God. He has been guiding people through treacherous waters for thousands of years. He has helped other people, and He will help you. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Next we see in verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set watch against them day and night because of them. The laborers prayed." See, it wasn't just the leaders who got a hold of God. It was the laborers as well. If everyone involved in the work bade the work in prayer, imagine what would be accomplished. They all turned to the Lord and depended upon Him and believed Him that He would be the help in their time of need. The best thing that a church can do is come together in prayer. You know, let me encourage you. We have revivals coming up. I love the fact that our pastor has cottage prayer meeting. Let me tell you, I'll be honest with you, how many people show up at those cottage prayer meetings is a direct indicator of how much we want revival. How much we want the work to continue. How much we believe that God will work if we ask Him. And here's the thing is, you know what? It shouldn't just be the leaders of the church showing up. The Bible says that in this case, the laborers prayed. The laborers got a hold of God. And you know what? We need to come together. You know, when you look back at the early church, listen, the Bible says they were all of one accord. And listen, when it comes down to it, didn't mean they got into a Honda. But what it means is, listen, they were all of one accord. Listen, they decided that, you know what? Every one of us need to pray. Every one of us, you know, the work is so important. Listen, if we do it in our own might, you know what? We're going to fail. The work is too important to let fail. We need to band together to pray. You need the Lord and His help, just like I need the Lord and His help in this hour. All you have to do is look around. The world is wicked. You know what? It seems like wickedness abounds on every hand. It seems like there's a battle. You know, the LGBTQRST, whatever group, is trying to push their agenda. And listen, you know what? They're trying to push the agenda of many things. And listen, a lot of which goes against the Word of God. A lot of these politicians, I tell you what, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for their opinion. And listen, When it comes down to it, we need to take and realize that America, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Here's the thing is, God says the recipe for revival is to pray. And listen, we need to band together to decide that we are going to be men and women of prayer. And so the leaders prayed. And turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know what prayer does? It brings about a peace. Here's the thing is, we can worry and we can fret about just about anything. You know what? That's going to bring turmoil. But when we pray and we bring it before the God of heaven, I'll be honest with you, there's a certain level of peace that comes. But back in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass, our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." God does answer prayer. And you know what? They were told not to fear the enemy, but to focus on the Lord. Next, they responded to their duties assigned to them. They didn't just pray about the work. They didn't just worry about the work. They decided they were going to finish the work. They knew that prayer was just the beginning. After prayer, it was time to get back under the load. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But I'll tell you what, notice the word we. It wasn't just, let's send the pastor back to the work. Let's send the leadership back to the work. Listen, they banded together and said, you know what? The phrase, the people had a mind to work. This expresses a unity of purpose and work. These folks were working together, and as a result, the work was accomplished. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. We see, here's the thing, as people thought it was impossible, 6 chapter 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, and in 52 days, God did exactly what he said he would do. But it took work. And you know what? When it comes down to it, work is going to go a whole lot smoother when all of us work together. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our church ought to be striving together. Our church ought to be deciding that, you know what? We are unified in the process of the work. We are deciding that we are going to all band together. Hey, listen, if we're going to reach Bucyrus for Christ, it's going to take all of us. You know what? Too many times we decide so-and-so is going to do the work, and so-and-so is going to do the work. And what we pay pastor for is he's going to do the work. No, listen, we all need to band together and decide that we're going to be unified in the process of the work. They were unified in the protection of the work. They all worked together, but we see in the Bible they all watched as well. Everyone had each other's best interest at heart. For them, the big picture was the main focus. And for our church, the big picture is to see souls saved and lives changed. We need to take, and you know what? We're here to grow the kingdom of heaven, and we're here to keep people out of hell. We're here to build Christians. We're here, you know what? We need to keep the main thing. The main thing, the strongest of walls are useless if the gates are weak and the gatekeepers are careless and disloyal. The Great Wall of China was penetrated by enemies at least 3 times. Each time the guards were bribed. The church is desperately in need of strong gates and loyal gatekeepers. And not somebody that's deciding that their best interest was in mind, like the guards at the Great Wall. Next, we see they were unified in the process of the work. Verses 13 through 18. Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his own work. They were all in it together until it was completed. Each person had a different function in the church, but they were all unified at the work. This is the essential process of the church. We need not be jealous of somebody else. We need not be trying to strive for the limelight. And we need to, you know, here's the thing is, if we're all working together and unified in the work, imagine what God can do. Unless the church worked together as a team, it will surely accomplish nothing in eternity's value. You ever wonder why Canadian geese fly in a V formation? I tell you what, I'm a goose hunter. I haven't done it for a long time, but I loved to hunt. When I was in Washington, I loved to hunt geese. And a duck, for years, specialists in aerodynamics wondered the same thing. Why do geese fly in a V formation? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'll tell you. Two engineers calibrated a wind tunnel. And what happens in such a V formation, each goose, in flapping his wings, creates an upward lift for the goose that follows. When all these geese do their part in a V formation, the whole flock has a 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Each depends on the other to get to the destination. Something else, when a goose begins to lag behind, the others honk it back into place. Now let us learn from God's animal creation. The church needs to fly in a spiritual V formation, honking one another into steadfastness. And it must be, you know, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. When everyone works together in the work, it's so much easier. The problem is too many times in churches across America, 10% of the church does 100% of the work. Now, I know that's probably not the case in our church, but listen, when it comes to the fact when people decide to do it alone, that is when people burn out, and that is when people fail. God values fellowship, godly fellowship. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. Next, they remembered the determinations about them. They needed to remember what they were fighting for, and so it is the church. Verses 14, the Bible says this, and I looked and rose up and saw and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your houses, your daughters and or your wives and your houses. More was at stake in Jerusalem than just that wall. Nehemiah knew that the very worship of Jehovah was in the balance. Remember as you pray and labor for your church that the future of your worship is at stake. When it comes down to it, don't let your enemies empty your altars, silence your praise, or extinguish your testimony. They were fighting for a reason. Listen, we don't come to church just to pat ourselves on the back. We don't come to church just to fulfill our duty. Here's the thing is, you know what? We come to church and we decide that, you know what? There's a greater work to do. You know what? I want a church to be here for my children. I want a church that preaches the Word of God. I want a church that stands on the Word of God. I want a church that, you know what, hasn't compromised on music. I want a church that has a Sunday night program and has a Wednesday night program for my kids. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. If I fail at attending those services and the church has to cancel because nobody shows up, you know what? I have drained the future of my children. I have taken and you know what? We have hurt the future. And so when it comes down to it, we are fighting for their faith. We are, you know what? We're not going to take and, you know what? I believe in an old-fashioned altar. I believe that, you know what? Listen, if I don't walk an old-fashioned altar, my kids aren't going to walk an old-fashioned altar because too many times we show them what is normal. Here's the thing is, you know what? I need to take and live a life holy so I show my kids what's holy and show the next generation because too many times we say, you know what? I don't need this and I don't need this to walk with God and I don't have to do thus and so. Listen, when it comes down to it, I don't want to water down the faith for the next generation. You know, as you look in the past, I'll be honest with you, I see back in history and I see people that were more sold out and I see people that love God. I see preachers that would walk down a street and they would talk and their wife wouldn't even know if they were talking to them or if they were talking to God. God does say, pray without ceasing. And I think, you know what? Have I watered down the faith? Have I lost sight of the vision? You know what? Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, if I'm a watered down, a lukewarm Christian, is my grandchildren even going to be saved? You know what? Are my kids going to look at my heresy and say, you know what? Daddy didn't even really believe it all that much. You know what? Why should I take, you know what? He was just playing church. It wasn't important to him. And you know what? The kids look at that. Inconsistency breeds rebellion. And then you know what? We have a third generation that sees that mom and dad doesn't even go to church. And listen, I don't know that they're even going to accept Christ. The future rests on us. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy for a reason. You know what? God is concerned about us and God is concerned about our blessings and God is concerned about our walk with God. But you know what? God is also concerned with future generations. This church needs to be around for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation if the Lord tarries. Listen, we don't know when God is coming back, but you know what? We don't need to be planning that it's tomorrow. We don't need to be living our lives the way we want to live things. We need to live life with our work in mind. So they were fighting for their faith. They were fighting for their families. Nehemiah knew that the struggle was very real for their lives. And they were fighting for the future. You know, too many times we take and we lose sight of the fight. In closing, spiritual work requires spiritual wisdom. And that spiritual wisdom is available to all who ask for it. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto you. I'll be honest with you. We as Calvary Baptist Church need to get before the Lord tonight and seek his face. Do we need wisdom that passes all understanding? Here's the thing is, you know what? We should desire in our heart to continue the work. We should see the burden and of the work. And listen, we need to see that we are fighting for more than just us. Too many times we as people, we tend to be selfish. And we tend to realize, what's in it for me? Well, what's in it for my kids? What's in it for my grandkids? What's in it for Bucyrus? If there's a desire in your heart to see the Lord take this church and prepare it for the future that is brighter than the past, we need to take and come down to an old-fashioned altar and realize that, you know what? The work is important. And we can't, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There will be opposition. I'll be honest with you. This whole prosperity gospel, you know, you just walk with God and you'll be rich. If that's the case, pastor has failed miserably. And I have too. And here's the thing is, and pastor's one of the most godly men I know. And so when it comes down to it, you know what? We need to realize that there will be trials and troubles. There will be complainers inside and outside of this church. And I tell you what, there will be people that fight you tooth and nail. Why? Because Satan's real and he's our enemy. But you know what? We need to realize that this work is important and that God has a plan and a purpose. And listen, I'll be honest with you. If we'll just continue on in the work and we'll just say, Lord, whatever happens, I'm yours. Whatever you want, I'll be here. And listen, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to be discouraged by the complainers. I'm not going to be discouraged about the people plotting. You know what? If I have to, I'll keep a sword on my hip and a trowel in my hand. And you know what? We're going to build the wall. Listen, when it comes down to it, there's a work that needs done here at Calvary Baptist Church. And that work is important. There is lives all around Bucyrus and in the surrounding areas that are lost and dying and going to hell. And listen, if we don't share the gospel with them, I don't know that anybody else will. And I'll be honest with you, there are Christians who need encouragement. There are Christians, fellow Christians, who are in the work. And I'll be honest with you, you'd be in the work for any length of time. You look around, from time to time, there's somebody that gets discouraged. We need to take them under our wing and say, you know what? Fight the good fight. Don't get discouraged. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this church. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be like Nehemiah. Help us to be determined. Help us to not be sidetracked. Help us to be willing to fight for what means the most to us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to not be discouraged. Help us to not get weary in well-doing. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to realize that there's something greater at hand than just whether or not we succeed. But help us to plan for the next generation. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.